Exodus 19, verses 7 and 8. So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people, and set before them all the words the Lord had commanded him to speak. The people all responded together, "We will do everything the Lord has said." So Moses brought their answer back to God. Exodus 19, verses 7 to 8. The people respond to Moses, above all, to God. And their response is a complete unity. Moses set before them all the words the Lord had commanded him to speak. The people all responded, and they all responded together. All the words, all responded, all united together. And their response is wonderful indeed, is it not? "We will do everything the Lord has said." It's a wonderful response, a glorious response. But, and there is a very big but here. These two verses cast a shadow over much of the rest of Scripture. The consequences of these two verses, verse 8 in particular, are enormous. "We will do everything the Lord has said." Who can fault that? I'm sure they were sincere. I'm sure they meant it. I'm sure they thought they would undertake this covenant. But let me remind you of verse 5. "Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant," this is the word of the Lord to the Hebrews, "now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession," and so on and so on. You will be this to me. You will be that to me. "Now then, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant." Wonderful promises. But did you hear the conditions? "Now, if, obey, fully, keep." Those words are pregnant words. Pregnant with meaning. Full meaning. "Now, if, fully, keep." But what if you adjust those words? What if you say something like, "But if partially fail"? What if you don't fully keep? What if you fail to keep? What if you turn your back upon this covenant? What if you break this covenant? What if you break it in one point? Remember, James takes this up, James chapter 2. "If you offend in one point," he says, you see, this is the issue. If you offend at one juncture, one place in this covenant, you break the lot. Oh, I know covenant theologians have their way of dividing the law into various bits and pieces. It's a load of rubbish. Nonsense. You can't divide the law. "Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant," not just the individual commands or the individual points, but it's the whole covenant, and if you fail at one point, what then? Well, tremendous promises if you keep the covenant. If you keep it fully, treasured possession, my special people, kings, priests, holy nation, wonderful, wonderful. But what if you fail? Well, the rest, of course, of the covenant will spell it out. When Israel enters Canaan, there's the two rocks. There's the blessings of the covenant, but there are the curses of the covenant. Do the Hebrews realize what they're saying here? "We will do everything the Lord has said." Yeah, sure. If you keep the covenant fully, you will be this treasured possession, and you will be a holy nation, and you will be a kingdom of priests. Oh, yes. Sure. But if you fail, if you break it, if you fall at one point, the whole covenant will come crashing about your ears, And as the rest of the Bible shows, this is a covenant then of condemnation. The Reformed don't see this at all. I was glancing this morning and I saw something in passing that Matthew Poole wrote. The Abrahamic covenant was renewed at Sinai. Nonsense. The Abrahamic covenant was promise. Grace. This is law. This is works. God promises to Abraham. Yes, Abraham has duties, but God promises to him. Here, Moses at Sinai is giving this covenant to Israel, and it's all now. If you obey me fully and keep my covenant. But of course Israel failed, and how miserably they failed, we shall see not very far hence now. We shall come to it very soon. Even before Moses brought the two tablets down from the Mount of Sinai, the Israelites were guilty of idolatry in the valley, and he smashed the tablets, because, of course, the covenant had been broken. And we will do everything the Lord has said was in ruins, even before they got the tablets. Israel's history is a record of the disaster, of the breaking of this covenant. Only one Hebrew, one Jew, one Israelite ever kept this covenant. And blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He kept that covenant. He fulfilled it, Matthew 5. He kept it for me. And by his obedience, and by his death under this covenant, he accomplished and fulfilled its purpose and meaning. And I rest my soul forever in the finished work of Christ. His blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress. He kept the covenant. He obeyed the covenant. He was made under it, and kept it, obeyed it, fulfilled it, accomplished it for me. And I rest in his finished work. Brother and sister, this is true for you. This is where we are. We have the blessings of this covenant. We are this kingdom of priests, this holy people, this treasure possession. Why? Because our Lord Jesus went under this covenant, kept it, lived under it, died under it, and redeemed us from all its curse and bondage, and brought us into the liberty of the sons of God. Unbeliever, unbeliever, you may think all this is outside of you and nothing to do with you. But you know it's natural to man. You think you're earning your way into bliss, everlasting life. Even though you might deny the afterlife, you think everything is going to be all right because of what you are and what you do. Even under the law of God, the law of God, the Hebrews who have been blessed by God, they fell at the first fence. And from then on it was curse and damnation all the way. And so it will be for you. If you think by your paltry works that you can earn your way to everlasting bliss, you are out of your senses. The prodigal son, you know, came to his senses in the pigsty. He woke up and he said to himself, what am I doing here? Will you wake up, friend? What are you doing? You're playing with your eternity by offering your paltry obedience and good works in some form or another. Stop it now and cast yourself upon the finished work, the finished life, the finished death, the glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ, and trust his merits, trust his work, and be washed in his blood, and have peace with God and all the promises of God bound over to you. Otherwise, it will be curse and damnation all the way, and even into eternity, an endless damnation. Isaac Watts put it very clearly, and I'll close with Isaac Watts' hymn. Cursed be the man, forever cursed, that does one willful sin commit. Death and damnation for the first, without relief, and infinite. Thus Sinai roars, and round the earth thunder and fire and vengeance flings. But Jesus, thy dear gasping breath, and Calvary, say gentler things. Pardon and grace and boundless love streaming along a Saviour's blood, and life and joy and crowns above, obtained by aid, dear bleeding God. Hark, how he prays! The charming sound dwells on his dying lips. Forgive. And every groan and gaping wound cries, Father, let the rebels live. Go ye that rest upon the law, and toil and seek salvation there. Look to the flame that Moses saw, and shrink and tremble and despair. But I'll retire beneath the cross. Saviour, at thy dear feet I'll lie, and the keen sword that justice draws, flaming and red, shall pass me by. So sang Isaac Watts, and so sing I. My friend, will you come to Jesus and rest beneath his cross? Will you trust his merits and his blood? And will you know that you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ? Brother and sister, let us thank God that Christ came into the world. Psalm 40, Hebrews 10, I come to do thy will, O God. And he did keep, fully keep, the covenant, and he kept it for us, brother and sister. Let us thank our Lord Jesus now, praised be his name, for our everlasting salvation in and through his work, his life, death, and resurrection, his precious blood. Amen.